All right, let's see if Bobby can convince us that the hometown hero should put the star on his helmet as we are live from the Denton Firehouse on a football Friday here as part of the Firehouse Tour. Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Sean will be back on Monday after after the old vasectomy. We got Peyton in studio. We got Caitlin running the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And
Raymond,
it's great
Engineering
to have you in
here. We got Raymond Engineering as well.
That shot's fired.
Jeez, wow.
Look at that. You gonna? I guess Ruben's just gonna take it, dude. He's just gonna take it right now.
I did get to meet Hardy during the break when we talked about we had Hardy out here, and
that dude really looks like
really dead on. Yeah. And we were talking about it during the break. We need to get him some like Hardy merch or something and send him out on Fry Street. And holy cow, he'll clean up.
He definitely woke up in his
holy
boots.
Cow.
He will clean up.
Definitely woke up in goodness. His boots this morning.
Absolutely. Sure. The news yesterday coming out. One of our long-standing crushes, not ours, like us, but this city, one of their long-standing crushes, Jamal Adams, has been released by the Tennessee Titans. I know you've been out on him. How high up on the list of takes, like how high up on the list of victories is this take for you, the anti-Jamal Adams take?
Oh, it's not that high.
What a flex.
It's not that high.
He's got a bunch of victories.
He's got a laundry list of great takes over the years.
I mean, the Pink Eye Academy and all the quarterbacks, Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott that I hit on. I mean, I discovered those two.
Discovered them and then abandoned them.
Then abandoned?
Yeah, just flat out abandoned
them. I wait till the hype gets above where I am and I'm like, okay, I'm out.
Okay. The juice is too hot for you at that point. The Titans have released Jamal Adams, and this was a request on his part, apparently. Wanted to get freed up, wanted to go look for more opportunities. They said, at this point, we wish Jamal all the best going forward. It just didn't work out here. He'll have great success wherever he goes. I don't know about that. But he only played 20 snaps. That was it. Mm. And he is released, and he's on the street. Any interest at all for your Dallas Football Cowboys and Jamal Adams?
On the surface,
total discount deal. Like I say, veteran minimum. Chop, are you in?
He could pay to play.
Oh, stop!
And I would say no.
Why?
Because he can't play. He's KP. He can't play.
Okay, Randy.
He can't play.
Yeah. On the surface, I was like, no, this is a disaster. It's a bad football player. Has been for a while. But the more I thought about it, I was like, if you're trying to. If
this is a team of bad football players.
He's
so,
getting 20 snaps with the Titans.
If you're trying to embrace the tank, though, is what I'm saying. Oh. Right? You're trying to field. And I don't know if the Cowboys need help with more bad football players on their team if you're trying to just now lose
Here's
games.
Here's what I mean.
If this season's a lost cause. Like, bringing in somebody to try and help you, I think, was useless. Like, should we trade for Davante Adams? Should we? No. What are we doing? No one player is saving this thing right now. So, I think Jamal Adams, you need edge players, right? I mean, he's more of a he's like a blitzing safety. Mm-hmm. He was lined up in the boxes. His entire career.
But that's the thing. Bring him in the box. Like, your run defense hasn't always been consistent. Sometimes your linebackers aren't taking great angles, whatever else. Him coming in here as a box safety who does know how to, you know, he knows how to play the game of football. The ability's not always there. The coverage isn't great. But you bring him up here as a box safety to just kind of play the run, play 10 to 15 snaps a game, like, bring some juice. Like, I don't think it's such a bad idea if he's going to come in here on, like, a cheap veteran minimum deal.
I just there's a part of me that's like, why can't we just see a little bit more of Marquise Bell? If you like, we're not seeing much of him.
I mean, he was hurt last week, but yeah, before that, he hasn't seen very much.
You're thinking of like, is Jamal Adams coming in and being a progress stopper for anybody? Not necessarily. Donovan Wilson's your box safety that is trying to be physical, but he's just not good anymore.
He comes up and takes 10 snaps at linebacker, though, basically.
No, I don't think that he actually would be progress stopping anybody. But as you start to try and like,
yeah, there's not a lot of progress to stop.
No, there's really not. But he's, I don't know, at the barest of minimum dollars, maybe you want to kick the tires on it.
I love, be careful. Those tires will cost you $2,000 if you kick them too hard.
hey, dude, Ice Auto, our guy Mike Osmond is ready to get you some
I got blown up by like 80 people after that said, hey, no, you come on over here. We'll get situated.
Platinum Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, Jeep going to help you out.
Another one. Yeah, it's all over the place. Now, to me, the thing is that, you bring up the point, you say he's not going to fix it. Or we talked about the Davante Adams trade. The Davante Adams trade isn't going to fix it. Jamal Adams isn't going to come in here and fix anything. And that's the biggest thing about this Jerry interview we've talked about all this week that I think was the most telling sign was when we said, at what point do you say when there's execution problems or whatever else, those players aren't the right players anymore? And he said, we're not going to go out and find 20 new players for San Francisco.
We don't need 20.
And but no, one? No, wrong. That's what I'm saying. That's where he betrayed what he had been saying throughout the whole interview, is because he threw that number on there. He's clearly thinking that execution problems are so deep that if we replaced all the consistent execution problems we had, I'd have to go get 20 new players for San Francisco.
Yeah, okay, you're fair.
And that's the thing. I think he can say, although we have the right players, but then as soon as I said, yeah, do you maybe need to replace some folks? I can't get 20 players. Oh, so you think half your roster is bad, is what you just told me. That's how I looked at it.
Yeah, yeah. You're not wrong. I think that's fair. I'm just out on Jamal Adams. I don't think he's the right person for the job here.
We'll only need 8 players, though. If we trade for the 12 players that Bill Barnwell suggested.
Yeah, so Barnwell has a list of the 12 guys that need to be traded or the teams that need to make trades. And you got, like, you know, the Chiefs trading a 5th for DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, that's one of them.
I think the Chiefs need to go get Diontae Johnson or Christian Kirk. That's who I'd be going for.
I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs are basically the longest yard at this point with their roster of crooks and criminals. So I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins has enough of a, you know, off the field record to end up with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I don't know how much of a fit that is. But a 5th rounder for DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, that would
not bad.
That's not bad. I don't know what he actually has left. But how about this one for the Cowboys that he suggests? A 2025 6th round pick in exchange for Bears running back Khalil Herbert. Now, I think Khalil Herbert would fit really well in this running back room because he's averaging 2 yards a carry. So I think he's really a perfect fit for this running back room. Now, he is 26, so that's about at the end of the cut of the running back lifespan, right?
Yeah.
27 is the end, but you're giving up a 6. That doesn't matter. Khalil Herbert, Robert.
And he's on an expiring deal, from what I understand. So
yeah,
he's been an
efficient. It's just a rental.
He's been an efficient runner at times. See, you bring up, though, that he's only averaging 2 yards per carry. I was just looking at this. His success rate chop is still 62.5, which means they've only been using him in short yardage stuff, it sounds like.
Ooh.
Like, that's it. That's all he's got an opportunity to
do. I mean, that's why they have Zeke here, and they don't even use him in short yardage situations sometimes.
No, they instead decide to use him on 1st and 2nd and 3rd and long. That's when they'll put him in there to carry the ball, and after he complains a little bit and squeaky wheel gets the oil. But
does McCarthy say in his headset, hey, guys, we're trying to get into a 2nd and 11 here, so let's hand it to Zeke on 1st and 10?
Yeah, McCarthy wants to get it to 3rd and 14 with 5 seconds left and then call the draw play.
But here you go. So between 2021 and 23, he averaged 4.9 yards a carry. That was 7th among the 46 players with 300 carries. Very good. Or more between that stretch. Now, but so some of that was playing with Justin Fields because he generated 189 rush yards over expectation during that stretch. But it's not because of Fields, because the other backs that Chicago had produced a minus 256 that same time frame.
Okay.
So he was pretty decent. Now, they haven't used him this year at all, but that doesn't mean that
he cleans the bone off. There is no meat on the bone.
There's no meat on the bone. There's no meat on the bone with Khalil Herbert.
What other names does he suggest here? I want to see if I would take any of them for the Cowboys.
All right, so the other name, now he's got, I suspect that he did not read the Howie Roseman poison pill, because he says the Lions trade a 6th for Hassan Reddick. And I don't see the Jets.
Jets just go, sure, yeah. A 6th rounder is enough for us to then escalate our 3rd to a 2nd.
Right, I don't see that happen. A Bryce Young going to Miami for a 4th, a conditional 4th.
Oh, my gosh. If that were, what would you think about that? Like, you know what? Actually, I don't hate that.
I don't hate it at all.
But think about that trade, Bryce Young to Miami.
I don't hate it.
That's not a bad fit. And I bet you anything, McDaniel would get him comfortable. Because you remember before McDaniel got to Miami, there were a lot of questions about Tua's confidence and everything that Flores had done. If the issue with Bryce Young right now is confidence being shot and just feeling like you've been totally discarded, Tua felt that way with Flores. So
yes.
I don't think that'd be worth a 4th-round pick to me if you're Miami.
Yeah, McDaniels had to do the reclamation project before. I'm not buying Bryce Young in the sense that I think he could be something, but I do think if anybody could get something out of him, it would be a guy like McDaniel.
We didn't even talk about this earlier this week after everything got derailed by Jerry. Chop, what would you say? Is this the week of this show where we've had the most content scheduled that we didn't get to?
Oh, we didn't. Oh, my God, Eric.
We've had to do the most adjusting we've ever done.
I don't think we used any topics from our prep emails until yesterday of the whole week. Because it was just the Cowboys.
Blown out by Jerry and the Cowboys.
We generally set our topics before the Cowboy game hits, whatever time of the day it is.
Yeah.
So, obviously, that got blown up because of the Lions.
Uh-huh.
And then we kind of continued it on a Tuesday, right? Because something else happened. And then, obviously, with Jerry, that finished it. And that was Wednesday. So it was a crazy week.
It's been a heck of a week.
But to that point, I was just saying, one of the things we didn't get to this week that we had scheduled was to talk about McDaniel saying Tua's coming back.
Yeah.
Like, he says Tua's on his way. And that is, like he said, I don't know when it'll be, but I do think he's going to play in 2024. And that was significant. He kind of just threw it in there and moved on. But that's significant because that's the first sign we've heard the doctors are going to let him play again this year.
Yep, I agree. Next guy is Emmanuel Forbes going to Washington for a fifth. From Washington, yeah, to the Chargers for a fifth.
That's a pretty quick punting on a player, right?
For a fifth, so it'd be Forbes and a sixth for a fifth.
Forbes
rounder.
And a sixth for a fifth.
Ooh, that would be punting pretty fast on a guy that Dan Quinn liked here in Dallas and then got to Washington for. I'd be a little surprised by that,
yeah.
But Forbes is skinny. He's 6'2", and he's like 174. I mean, we've never seen a corner like him in the history of the NFL.
Next one. Jets get a seventh-round pick for Mike Williams.
Yeah, I think that would be the best you could get out of him.
Saints get Andrus Peat for Kendre Miller. Wasn't Miller at K-State?
Kendre Miller was TCU.
TCU. Deuce was at K-State.
Yeah, Kendre Miller, we interviewed him. He was one of those voices of God interviewed from TCU. That one's interesting just because Andrus Peat was with the Saints until this season. Like, he left in free agency, so that'd be repairing something that you did wrong. Kendre Miller's a running back that I'd be interested in here at Dallas just as like a flyer to see if it can work. He just can't stay healthy. That's his biggest problem.
All right, I have another running back. The 49ers send a 6th to Miami for Jeff Wilson and a 7th.
Not enough. First round pick for UNT zone Jeff Wilson. We are here in Denton.
Yeah.
Shout out to our guy, UNT zone.
What do you say, Peyton? What's y'all's little cry? Yeah, there you go. That's it. No, Jeff Wilson is a guy.
Pterodactyl.
Jeff Wilson has had a.
Something with some talons.
Jeff Wilson has had a really strong career for somebody who was an undrafted free agent that just landed in San Francisco. He's been traded for capital a couple times, I think, now. And that's another guy that we talked about as potential running back addition for the Cowboys this offseason when we're looking at who are guys you could potentially trade for.
Why don't teams ever use dinosaur names?
Like the T-Rexes, the
pterodactyls. Is because there's a P that nobody wants to.
I do think, the P is off-putting when you're trying to come up with graphics or whatever, I would imagine.
I mean, the Toronto Raptors, I mean, they use one, but that's
it. There you go. That's the only one that we get. But we do need more. We do need more dinosaurs.
So how about the Tyrannosaurs?
We need more dinosaurs in society. Like, we need them to come back.
Yeah, just across the board. Yeah. I think we need more dinosaurs.
Look, we need
Big John, whatever his name is.
Yeah, we need to get on whatever they were doing in Jurassic Park. They need to. Look, we got an mRNA vaccine in 6 months, Chop. We can bring dinosaurs.
Bobby,
back.
Okay.
Hey, we got a fire truck back. Right. All right, so we got two calls, I believe.
Two calls,
and we finally got one of the trucks back. That's good news. I am out on Khalil Herbert to the Cowboys, though. I'm not spending draft capital now for a rental piece for a team that's going nowhere right now. So I'd be out on Khalil Herbert. But let's go ahead and get you into the expressway, ladies and gentlemen. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from Denton as part of the Firehouse Tour. Come see us here until 10 a.m. Free breakfast. We got Whataburger flags. We got the insulated coolers as well, and we would love to see you. Let's go commercial free to the top of the hour. The Lions continue talking that talk, and Aikman rips the pass catchers next right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, and it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is the expressway right now on The Fan, and it's brought to you by the on-time experts.
Thank you, Peyton. Let's go ahead and get into the expressway. Commercial free to the top of the hour on a football firehouse Friday in Denton, station number 31401 Underwood, right here in the old stomping grounds for me. I'm getting a little bit romantic about the old college days. This is where I met my work wife, Zach Wolchuk. So I got all the warm and fuzzies right now, yeah. Even though I think it might be. Is it getting colder in real time?
It is getting colder. It's daybreak.
It is getting colder here at 1401 Underwood. And speaking of Underwood, we were talking to Rance out here. He's trying to convince us to get the vasectomy. And
get it, dude. Yes.
No.
It's a. No. You'd rather have another kid than just go through.
Oh my gosh, the miracle of life! Wouldn't you rather just get your stuff cut off? No,
she can't get pregnant.
It's not cut off. Nothing's cut off. Okay, let's just make that clear.
Here's my biggest.
It's all
concern.
Still intact.
I'm gonna tell you my biggest concern, and I'm gonna be as delicate as possible, knowing that it's 7:23 and there are children in the car.
And so will the doctor. He will be as gentle as possible. All right.
Exactly. He'll. So here's the thing: is that I was just telling Chop and I was telling Rance this, who was explaining to us out here with his lovely daughter Zaylee before they go off to pre-K this morning. The first time after the first time that you produce after.
Yes, I remember vividly.
I'm quite. I think I would have some fear of like. What if there's scar tissue in there? They knotted something they didn't mean to, or it's gonna. I know what that felt like before. I don't know that I trust what it's gonna feel like. What if I pop a seam in there somewhere? Like when it's coming back out. Yeah, exactly, Peyton.
Listen, I don't like Nirvana, so I don't want my new theme song to be "I'm Half the Man I Used to Be." So
well,
I'm
you
not
don't have to
it.
Worry about that.
I don't
my T levels have never been higher. Okay, I got all the energy in the world. And I actually remember that first one. You're supposed to wait 5 days. We waited four.
Of course you did, because you guys were desperate to have another child.
Were you concerned? Were you concerned at all? Were you like, this is not gonna feel good?
Not concerned enough, obviously. But everything was fine. Everything was good. The scary part is the dangerous game you play for the next 3 months as things are starting to adjust. And it's not like you just immediately boom, you can make it ran and no problems. You have a full quarter to go through.
You ever see a dog's energy after you do that to them? They're just energy sapped. Sapped.
That's not a snip. That's a castration.
It's the same thing.
It's not. I still have. They're all still there. Okay, I'm telling you, Sean. This is going to be the best decision he's made.
Isn't
again,
this like, isn't this like a like you're bypassing, like you're snipping from one tube and plugging it into another or something?
I don't really know all the details.
Chris Arnold explained it to you.
There are. Yeah, but he had the old school one. There's a new school, less invasive, easier. Boom, boom. You're in and out.
That's why Sean
minutes.
Got it done because it's the new school.
It's the new school. That's right. Absolutely. I can't. I'm out. It's against my religion. I'm not going to do that.
He picks and chooses when he's going to be Catholic.
I do. I really do. Big time. No doubt.
All right. We have some more. We have some more S talk.
That premarital sex one.
Is there?
What's that?
You observe that premarital sex Catholicism?
If by observing it you mean taking part in it, then yes.
You know what the Lions are taking part in right now, boys? They are taking part in victory laps.
Oh, my God. Are they ever?
They are
talking about this audio.
This is, I mean, they are as confident a bunch as you'll find this time of year anywhere in the world, but also in the NFL. I mean, this crotch first confidence right now, it's understood after what they just did to the Cowboys. But did you see what the quote was from Ben Johnson? We're about to play some sound, and it'll be pretty damning about the Cowboys. But this is the Lions offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. He was asked about unloading all those trick plays versus the Cowboys. Like, hey, you were up by so many points. Did you really want to put all that stuff on film? Couldn't that backfire on
on you. The confidence of this guy. He says, quote, I'm not worried about putting things on tape. If anything, it's going to set up the next thing down the road. The well is deep. This guy feels like untouchable right now. He's at the height of his powers. He is a football genius to some extent, and he's got great players to deploy. So he's feeling great, right? He's turning down head coaching jobs because he's like, nah, yeah. I want to just have a bunch of fun dancing on folks here
well,
as the play caller
is.
With a bunch of great players.
He's so having a ton of fun, man. He's also like a really good football mind.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, he really is.
But
now,
they'll never hire him.
What do you think?
That's like, the type of skill set that he has that you want in. Like, it's a unique skill set for a guy to not just, hey, this is what I do, and here it is, and hopefully it works. He's the type of guy that layers things. Hey, this is all a setup for something else. I can take this particular play or whatever, and I can have this one play in 10 different ways.
Right.
And he's building on it, and he's adjusting.
And here's the thing: if you just look at Detroit's coaching staff, the Cowboys. Because Jerry said he doesn't want to, you know, he's not going to hire somebody who he's got to pay to learn on the job. He would not have hired Dan Campbell. He will not hire Ben Johnson. He will not hire Bobby Slowick.
I think he would have hired Dan Campbell.
He didn't even interview him.
Yeah, I know. I think they.
But Dan wanted an interview here.
I know. I think Dan Campbell's upset he didn't get an interview here.
And that's why I rubbed it in?
Yeah. I mean, partially. And yeah, like, when you're Ben Johnson, you don't have to worry about revealing too much because you have a deep bag of tricks. And yeah, okay, it sets up a tendency that then they can see this and we can go into this. You have to worry about that more when you're running a Mike McCarthy offense where your options are X, square, triangle, and circle. Like, that's it's a four-play selection and then just, okay, what do we got? We got a, you know, toss sweep, halfback dive, you know, four verts and, you know, slant and go. Like, that's the whole option.
Sluggo.
Yeah, the sluggo.
It's curls and slants all day. It's a real nightmare. 877-881-1053. What's the biggest issue with the Cowboys offense? We'll get Troy Aikman's biggest issue here in just a moment. But here's some sound. Amon-Ra St. Brown on the St. Brown podcast interviewing one of his teammates, Lions safety Kirby Joseph, asking him what the game plan was for the Lions defense versus the Cowboys on Sunday.
Hey, Curb, tell me about the defense. Like, what was the game plan? Y'all was strapping them boys.
Bro, the game plan really, it was really just like, you know, just take 88 away. Like, we know he's right. A playmaker. So, like, once we take him out the game, like, we wasn't really worried about nobody else.
Right, that debate, BB baited the hell out of Dak on that corner in the red zone.
Oh my yeah, gosh. yeah. I'm glad he did too, cause boy, I'm so glad he did, man. But that's what I'm saying about BB. Like, he's just a different type of player, bro. Like, ain't never seen nothing like it.
Right, yeah. You two right there are OD. What's with the pick you had in the red zone? Cause at that time, bro, I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't even paying attention really to the game. We were all on the sideline. It was over. But I just see, damn, we got another pick, another turnover.
The disrespect is through the roof right there. Wasn't even paying attention to the game at that point. We're just kind of, oh, we got another interception.
What's your boy Kirby Joseph doing?
They feel
that's
themselves,
your guy
man.
Right
They're
there, Kirby
themselves.
Joseph.
Wait, why is Kirby Joseph my guy?
Because y'all interviewed him on the nosebleeds.
Oh, that's right. We did.
When
we
he
did.
Was at the University of Illinois.
Yes, we did.
Gosh, look at this.
He didn't even remember. Taking all the guests, he didn't even remember.
Forgotten
right.
More football than most people know, Eric Schiaffalo.
I'm sorry. I forgot about the random Kirby Joseph interview.
Well, Walchuk referenced it like three times the week of the Lions game, but you must have missed all that.
Walchuk's a big Kirby Joseph fan.
You must have been stuck looking at the fan text like
Eric's
I'm here
asleep.
From all these horror stories of people saying they had to have two of them done because the first one got botched.
Okay, on the vasectomies?
Yes.
Okay, how long ago did they do it? I'm telling you, we have moved, we have evolved as a vasectomy society, and now we have different technologies. Everything's
okay.
Less invasive and quicker.
This,
okay?
is the, worst.
I'm walking proof that this thing works.
This is the worst description I've ever heard from the 214. Cut the tubes, burn the ends, and clamps the tube for a vasectomy. Easy 20 minutes. Only feel the tugs and smelling and seeing smoke. Nope. I'm out.
Yeah, I did see the smoke. There wasn't any aromas that I can really remember.
I'll stick to prayer as my means of control. That's what I'll stick to.
Unbelievable. 817, botched vasectomy was 5 years ago. Listen, man, I don't know. I've done it once, okay? I haven't had to go back for seconds, thank God. And
sounds like you enjoyed it so much you would, though.
My cousin got it done. He recommended this guy. I got it done. Easy money. And now Sean's done it. We're 3 for 3 on people that I know that have gone to this dude. Okay? Now, I would recommend not having your wife in the room. What, like mine wanted to be in the room and watch this whole thing. Because then all of a sudden, now she's undermining you at times. She's got comment. I didn't know your thing could get that small. I'm like, come on, dude. Really? Are we really going to do this right now? Is this the time for put downs?
The fan text.
817, I did mine 2 years ago and my pee fell off.
I wasn't going to tell you to read it.
I said the letter. I said the letter. That's not bad.
I'd rather lose the other parts, I think, than
yeah.
Than
you can have it, man. I'm out. Bobby and I are out on that one.
Oh my gosh, what did Troy Aikman say?
Troy Aikman has the best balls.
Yeah, Troy Aikman was not. He doesn't think the Cowboys. Receivers are very good.
Now, was this said on his weekly radio show?
Yes, it was.
His weekly radio show. Okay.
96.7. He says, I think the routes are terrible. I think they run terrible routes, and I've thought that beyond this year. I think Lamb has got to improve his route running. As a quarterback, if you're not certain where guys are going to be consistently, it's hard to play the position. I see guys lazy coming up the line of scrimmage. Sometimes they run. Usually if they do, it's because they're anticipating they're going to get the football on that play. It's very Randy Moss, right? Wasn't that Randy's like criticism in Minnesota? Like if he knew he wasn't getting the ball, he was just like, oh, well, F it.
But none of these guys are Randy Moss.
No,
level
they're not.
Of, like, he goes, even CeeDee Lamb.
Pretty great, though.
CeeDee Lamb is.
It's funny, before you finish this up, but it's funny you say this because I did have somebody say to me recently from around the league, not Dallas, somewhere else, that they had said that they thought that Lamb looked like he was playing a little disinterested. And, I mean, that sounds like...
Well, he's not fighting for these balls where it's like, okay, it's going to be an interception
like what Aikman's talking about here is the same thing I heard about, like, kind of off the line of scrimmage, just no urgency.
Just laziness
it's not as tight as it has been.
I don't think there is a lot of buy-in from CeeDee Lamb and these wide receivers when it's like, okay, I'm going to go run another curl route. I'm going to go run another slant route. It's hard to create separation when the defense knows what you want to do, when everybody in the building knows that you're scared of your pass protection, so you're trying to get the ball out super quick. And so the only way that Mike McCarthy knows how to do that is everybody, you know, run 5 yards and turn around, or one of you run a slant route, and then we'll hope it works. That, if you're a receiver, you're like, man, what do we – I can understand the frustration there. You're not right. Doing anything to help me. You're not putting me in motion. We're not bunch stacking this thing and taking advantage of man coverage. It's just, hey, let's spread the formation out and everybody run 5 yards and turn around. It's hard to buy in on something like that.
Scott Linehan special, baby.
Yeah. The Cowboys' philosophy is when in doubt, spread them out. And then that's how they choose to attack, you know? So
spread them out.
What's the rest of it,
out.
What Aikman said?
Continuing. I just finished watching the Ravens because I have them this week. You put on film on theirs and watch the receivers run routes. They come off the football. They come off the football?
What? Yeah, like off the football being snapped. They come off of it.
Oh, it's just I'm reading it like that. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So does San Francisco and Green Bay and others. But it's hard to play the position of quarterback if you're not certain how guys are going to run routes or where they're going to be. Of course, these are all timing things, right? And I'm not speaking for Dak. He may say, hey, I think their routes are amazing, but as a former quarterback watching it, it's got to get a lot better. Now, I trust Aikman's absolutely what he's saying here. If he thinks they're running poor routes, quarterbacks know the routes they want their guys to run. A lot of quarterbacks, the great ones, will, like, teach the wide receiver to run a route.
We've seen Dak do that at training camp. We'll see Dak, like, tell guys, like,
this is how
12,
I want you to
not
do
11.
It.
Get back here. We're running it again. Like, yeah, and they are very precise.
You can see how much it's paying off for him right now.
Yes, big time.
There's Lamb going deep, and there's Dak throwing it 9 yards.
You said you trust what Aikman says. I trust everything he says except the last part. He says, I'm not speaking for Dak.
You think he is?
I'm not saying he's speaking for Dak, but I don't think he just is throwing things willy-nilly without any sort of sense of maybe what Dak thinks.
So, wait, you think he's getting this from Dak?
Not necessarily getting from Dak, but I think he talks to Dak enough that I would say, like, I think he would – I think that Aikman's saying something that would be somewhat similar to things that Dak said. Dak's talked about we need to be better in practice. Dak's talked about guys need to be more professional. They need to attack the ball. They need to do different things. Dak needs to be better. He's talked about that himself. But, man, think about where we've come over the last 5 years to where now Baltimore receivers are being held up as the example of – just that's how you get open.
Oh, dude.
That's how you run a route right there.
Don't even get me started on that one. That's a Dan Orlovsky special, thinking the Ravens receivers are that good.
Yeah, tell us about Dan Orlovsky. You've got us some great Dan Orlovsky content. Hey, we're in the middle of some like intense segment yesterday. Chops was like picking up his phone, like rushed him. Like, what the hell's going on? He's like, I got to get this. And he took this photo on the TV, and he about lost his mind looking at Dan Orlovsky.
You took a picture of Dan Orlovsky on television?
Yeah, he's a good looking guy. This is Dan Orlovsky and Harry Douglas, by the way. This is the best quarterback wide receiver duos in the NFL.
Nothing worse than Harry Douglas.
Okay.
Who do you think would be number one?
Say it again.
Wide receiver duos.
All right,
in the
if this
NFL.
Is Orlovsky, he's going to say Stafford and Puka Nacua.
They're not in the top five.
Rodgers and Garrett Wilson.
Not in the top five.
He's going to say Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers.
Number four.
Oh gosh. What would be an Orlovsky as hell answer?
Jordan Love and
not on the list.
Dontavian Wicks or something.
Not on the list.
Stroud and Nico Collins.
Yeah, that's good.
Number one.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I mean, they are a good connection.
CJ Stroud has to do so much heavy lifting for that offense.
Where's
right
Dak
now.
And Lamb?
Not on the list.
Is this just for how they're playing right now, or does he take it all into consideration like what they are?
I think it's probably a right
so
now.
One
thing.
Is Stroud Collins, two is Burrow Chase.
Oh, yeah, Barone Chase.
Three is Baker and Mike Evans.
Oh, he's going to go Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson.
Four is Jackson and Flowers. Five is Darnold and Jefferson.
By the way, I like hearing that description of the connection, by the way. Burrow and Chase. That sounds like a strategy for something. Just Burrow and Chase, baby.
Yeah, we're running the Burrow and Chase defense, and we're just hoping that we can slow them down today.
I've run some Burrow and Chase late in the evening before.
All right. Do we have some Tony Kornheiser?
We do. I want you all to listen to this one, because this was Tony Kornheiser on PTI. And he made a comment about the Dallas Cowboys that his own network doesn't believe, but is it actually a fair statement to make?
So we talk a lot about the Jets on this show.
Too much.
We don't talk as much about the Jets as we do, or other shows do, about the Cowboys, which is now another irrelevant franchise. But we talk a lot about the Jets.
Yeah, they're not irrelevant yet.
The Cowboys?
The Jets.
No, the Cowboys are irrelevant now.
All right, so his own network does not believe they're irrelevant because they lead with them every day.
They're not irrelevant from a...
But are they irrelevant when it comes to, like, the landscape of the NFL from a discussing success and championships point?
They're irrelevant from a perspective of who's actually competing for championships, because they're not. And they haven't for several years.
So, does making the playoffs, is that not...
What was the last... Okay, so I think... There's only been one year where you can look at the Cowboys and I think say that's a true, like during the McCarthy run, where you can say that was a true championship contending team. And I think it was 22. The team in 2022 that got to the second round against San Francisco and played that ugly football game, like that was a legitimate team that if they would have been able to pull out that game, which is going to be a tough one, like they legitimately could have gone.
Who
to
did
the
they
Super Bowl.
Beat in the first round that year?
Tampa Bay. They whooped them
in
Tampa. And that was a team that the defense was solid. Dak had started hitting his stride a little bit. They were playing good football. And that was something where I thought that team could have legitimately done. Outside of that, 16? Was
16 was legit.
16, yeah.
You know, I'll tell you this. No. When they went to L.A. to play the Rams, they lost.
18?
I was at that game.
Oh, was that when C.J. Anderson was just running all
over
the defense?
Did you say with the Bloods or the Crips?
Honestly, this was the most awesome seat I've ever had. I didn't buy a ticket. I got a press pass. I got a credential. And I went up. They were renovating the Coliseum at that time, so they didn't have a press box. But what they did is they took a bunch of those, like, you know those crates that they put on shipping containers?
Yeah.
They had a bunch of shipping containers up there, and I climbed up on top of one, and I just sat by myself on top of the shipping container.
Wow.
At the very top. It was awesome. Because it's L.A. It's one level. The stadium's one level, right? It's like a bowl. It's like the Rose Bowl or Michigan Stadium. And
yeah, because this was pre-SoFi.
Chop's like, one of the guys.
L.A., it's 70 degrees.
He's in one of the kayaks trying to catch, like, Giants home run balls. Like, that's the kind of seat the Chop was.
Midfield, back. That was probably the best seat I've ever had. 50-yard line, and it's like you're not far away.
I will say in that game, I think it was the first drive. The first drive, Dak hits Amari Cooper on like a crossing
long,
route,
yeah,
and
touchdown.
Coop just turns up. Yeah. In that moment, I did not think they were a Super Bowl contender. In that moment when he scored, and I was feeling the high of, holy cow, they just got out and made a statement. I was like, they might do it. And then it quickly went away when they gave up about 600 rushing yards.
Yeah.
And then somehow Jerry probably came out post game and said this is the greatest run defense he ever had.
Yeah. Somehow Jared Goff ran for a first down to seal the
game. On third and nine or something. Jeff Heath just missing that angle. My gosh.
Those are nightmares. All right, we'll get to the junk drawer here in just a second. But right now, Peyton Russell, it's time for a giveaway.
All right, Tolos, right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Lincoln Park at Globe Life Field on Friday, November 8th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, thank you, Peyton. And now it is time to empty the Friday junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
All right, I'll lead us off here. I've got so much that has built up in my emails here. I'm gonna let Eric Chiafalo and RJ Choppy vote on what we do here. Would you rather us talk about a study that looks into whether spanking really does screw kids up, or
kids,
why people think they're right even when they're
wrong? Going somewhere else with that one, Bobby.
How it turns it into adults. Whoops. But would you rather hear about the long-term effects of spanking or why people think they're right even when they're wrong?
Let's go with the spanking.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we have long heard that one of my favorite jokes that I've heard in a stand-up comedy was Nate Bargatze, the stand-up comedian, where he's talking about, yeah, you know, people have a lot of thoughts about spanking. You know, you can't spank your kids. You certainly can't talk about it into a microphone, that's for sure. And then he like moves up. But it's like, it's become so taboo. It used to be I spank my kids. I let the teachers whoop my kids. The neighbors, if they need to get out a little aggression, I'll send my kids over. Just take care of things if you need to. A new study challenges the common belief that's been pushed in recent years that spanking leads to messed up adults. So you've heard it from those hippies and short-haired Berkeley women's lib professors, Chop.
Women's lib.
Spanking leads to mass murderers or deeply depressed adults. Nope. New study puts that one to bed. It finds that spanking caused negative outcomes in less than 1% of subjects. And I think you hear that pretty consistently from people. Most frequently, the ones who are talking about, I feel like anyway, the people who are talking about like spanking leads to this or that, like, when you talk to them, they say that they weren't, and that they weren't spanked growing up. And so most people I've heard who were spanked growing up are like, didn't do nothing to me. And so this is probably a little anecdotal and a little personal perspective is what's going to go behind it. But still, this study from Marriage and Family Review said that spanking explained less than 1% of changes in child outcomes. This suggests that its negative effects may be overstated. The study recommends that if spanking is used, the most effective approach is 2 open-hand swats on the bottom for children aged 2 to 6 when they don't respond to milder discipline like timeouts. So open hand, 2 pats, and then that's it.
That's it?
Were you spanked growing up?
I mean, not often. It was more of a wooden spoon. My mom would, you know, get me with it. My grandma did it the best. She had a wooden spoon, or she would grab. She had these like, my grandma had her fingers were all mangled. She was like a seamstress in like a sweatshop back in the day.
She sounds hot.
And she would just like, she was my grandmother, dude. She would just grab my hand and just squeeze the hell out of it, and it just hurt.
Oh, that's
but
bad.
Like, yeah, I mean, look at me. But you know, spanking, and you know, they always say, you know, parents staying together is good for the. I'm a part of my parents staying together. Yeah. Look at me. I didn't turn out very well. So I mean, imagine how much better I would have been if they split up.
Yeah, I was getting spanked. My dad actually handmade a wooden towel, which he's very proud of to this day. And from time to time, we would hide it from him, and then he would go with the belt. But I've been told like not to do the hand because you don't want your kids to associate your hand with something that could like hurt them or something. So you want to like take a different type of object or whatever. I'm just saying some of the parental guidance that I've received. I haven't necessarily followed through with that. I've done an open hand, you know, spanking
situation. My mom, she went with the wooden spoon. She also went with the plastic hanger, which was great because the plastic hanger, has some give to it. And so it hit, and it would just kind of bounce off you. But when she would do it, she was like, we would have to really sell the pain so she'd keep using it. Like, oh, please stop.
Yes.
And then really we're like, this is easy. And so we had to really sell that. My dad's favorite was the a radio station he worked at here in town where they gave him a acoustic guitar-shaped cutting board, and I got that one.
Oh, God.
Ooh, a cutting board.
That sounds
vicious.
It had
a handle.
That sounds really vicious.
Get splinters up in there.
But there you go. It turns out that
all right, good.
Any of my issues certainly didn't result from spanking. Probably had something to do with mom dying or something like that.
Yeah, your mom probably died from all the plastic toxins that
she got. That's exactly what it was. I mean, that is why she probably couldn't breathe for the last month.
How much spanking do you guys do to your kids?
Mine are older now.
Right, they're older now, so you're probably not spanking them now.
Now I spank them. They hit me back.
Stepfather hit him, socked him back. I've spanked probably 5 to 10 times.
Okay.
I'll do it when it's warranted, but I mean, it's been.
It's like, what's the cutoff age on spanking? You said 2 to 6 on the study. I think that's probably
Like, you know, some people, I don't like take him in. Okay, I'm gonna take you in here. I'm gonna spank you now. No, it's like right there in the moment.
There you go. Yeah. That's how
good
you
angry just, spanking.
Yeah, react emotionally.
Have you spanked more children or partners?
Partners. Let's just Sean and RJ at 105.3 The Fan. Let's get you the next one here.
It doesn't develop any sort of kinks, right? If you're a kid that was
no, I don't think so. I don't think
God,
so.
I hope not.
Jeez, Eric, what's the matter with you?
That's
Kings?
Why we've got
a
so
fair
much.
Question?
All right, so
mother, why are you stuck in the washer?
This is circulated on TikTok, and this is circulated on TikTok about women refusing to split the bill on the first date. Okay, and this is a new not a new trend, but it's really kind of gaining steam. And they're explaining, and one user explained that as soon as the date is scheduled, now listen to this load of crap that these chicks are coming up with right now. As soon as the date's scheduled, she books a cycle bar class for $38, gets her eyebrows done, $38 plus $10 tip, gets a manicure, that's $171 before she even gets ready. She also says that the beauty and hair care products cost $223. So you add that to the $171, and she's in $400 already, and she hasn't even gotten to the date. Does this and should this play into any role of whether or not you split the bill on the first date? Do you care? First of all, what are you booking a cycle bar class? You think one cycle class is going to do anything?
Yeah. You're not doing a Hail Mary cycling class.
Yeah, Hail Mary cycling class
here. Try and get the body type
tighten and tone this up, baby.
Yeah. How about you just not false advertise on your dating profile, all right, with the photo, and just be open and honest about what you are.
Like,
here,
if you look great, you look great. And they obviously already want to go on a date with you. They already asked you out once. It doesn't matter if you look like you're sired by Seabiscuit or not. All right? If you look great, you look great. If you look bad, you look bad.
Seabiscuit a gelding?
I don't know. No,
wasn't he full Sean Sharif?
No, that was Funny Side. Funny Side.
Funny
was
Side was the
it doesn't matter,
gelding.
But it doesn't matter, right? Like, we're here. We want to go out with you already.
Yeah.
You don't need to put $400 of products on.
I'm going to sell
on out.
Walchuk's got a great story about showing up to a first date situation and seeing the prospective girl walk into the restaurant before he did, and she did not appear to be what she had advertised on her dating profile, and he just drove right off and never showed up to that date.
So he pulled a Sandler.
Wait. He
Sandler,
drove by
Sandler,
her?
Sandler tells the story of Sandler was in there. Sandler has told this all the year, so I'm not out.
No, it's a great story.
Jared Sandler joins us Monday, by the way, while Choppy's out. So Sandler's sitting there at his dinner, and he said the girl that he was on a date with or supposed to go on a date with walked in, saw how tall he was, and turned around and left, and then was like, didn't know that Jared had seen her. And she's like, oh, something just came up. I'm sick. I
it's an amazing story. I can't believe he shared that with us.
I mean, like, but all these products that they're buying, they're not one-offs.
Right,
you know,
right. Like, does my gym membership count? Does the fact that I had to pay for a $50 haircut count?
You
like,
didn't go, spend $300 on hair care and makeup products for one night. You get to use it for the whole month or however long until they run out.
I'll be honest, though. I don't know that I would have the guts to try and lay down the first date law if we're splitting this tab. Like, I just feel like I would just – that this is just – what I'm supposed to do here. I'm just paying for the date.
If you don't lay down the law, you don't lay down.
Yeah.
Jeez, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Cheat, what's your story?
Well, I just wanted to ask because yesterday listening to Peyton or how young is Peyton Russell? and the Tip O'Neill situation.
He's a great guy.
Mr. Tip O'Neill.
What is Tip O short for?
Do you think?
I wanted to ask Peyton if he thinks it's Germano Neal or just Germaine O'Neill. What's your guess there, Peyton?
I would say Germaine O'Neill.
Okay, and is it Frank O'Harris or is it Franco Harris?
The Immaculate Reception. That would be Franco Harris.
Which one? Say it slower.
Just say his first
name.
Second one.
Franco.
Okay, very good.
All right, he nailed it. Nice work. And then I was also curious because we have the awesome lunchbox stuff today that
Dude, those are almost gone. Yeah. If you want one, you've got to rush out here to 1401 Underwood.
And they're really, really awesome. But I was curious if you guys were you guys lunch pail guys? Did you guys buy your lunch growing up in school? Or were you brown paper
sack guys? I usually had it delivered on a plate.
He was
like
a homeschool kid.
Hand-delivered on a plate. By my mom.
Yeah, he was a homeschool kid.
For the first 6 years. The last 2 years, no.
Right.
The last 2 years, I wouldn't have made it myself.
So
she was dead.
I would bring my lunch to school until about, like, I got older in high school. Then I just had what they had, whatever they had at the lunch cafeteria.
You were buying at that point?
Honestly, I have no idea how I got the lunch. I don't know if we prepaid. I don't remember.
Did you have Fish Fridays?
We had Pizza Friday. Pizza was Fridays.
I thought
Friday was Pizza Day.
Because everybody else, it wasn't Fish Fridays, specifically in areas where there were like big Catholic regions. Because I thought it was like Fish Fridays.
I don't remember that. Pizza was cheese.
I know, here in Texas, a lot of schools.
Yeah,
had
it was
fish
cheese
Fridays.
Pizza. So that would suffice. But I never got. What I would do is I would just get the double fries. That's it. I just got two orders of fries every day. I wanted a carb load.
Dude, I used to. I mean, I miss some of the school lunch stuff, but I did mostly. I was packing my lunch, but I would actually take a Walmart bag or whatever. My mom would just put it in there instead of having the actual legit lunch box or the brown paper sack lunch. You all right, Bob?
What's the matter with
it
you?
It just didn't sound like I had a Tip O'Neill moment when he said carb load.
All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to barrel into the 8 o'clock hour.
I stopped at car.
Whatever your name is.
It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from the Denton Firehouse. It's a football Friday. It's a bit off the rails, and we will welcome in Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Talk a little Cowboys with Nick next year on The Fan.